Björkö, Svedjehamn. The Inuit people of the Arctic region are said to have 100 different words for snow. Here in the Kvarken Archipelago, the islanders have at least 88 words for different kinds of ice. It may be difficult to imagine what a huge part ice has played in the history of this region if you visit Svedjehamn on a warm summer's day. But in reality, all the land you see around you was shaped by ice. During the final phase of the most recent ice age, these long, narrow and low-lying islands in front of the harbour were formed. They are called Daguerre Moraines, after one of the pioneers in the science of post-glacial land uplift, the Swedish geologist Gerhard Daguerre. You can see them even better from above, from the observation tower, Saltkaret. When the inland ice had melted over the Kvarken archipelago, this whole area still rested deep down on the sea floor. Under the bottom of the enormous ice sheet, meltwater mixed with gravel and rock rushed along the sea floor. When the meltwater reached the edge of the ice, the pressure ceased and all the gravel and rock gathered in long ridges. When the ice continued to melt and icebergs broke off, the edge was pushed backwards and a new ridge of rock and gravel formed there instead. This happened several times per year, with a slightly bigger ridge forming each winter. Right here in Svedjehamn, you can see how the Daguerre moraines rise from the sea, thanks to the land uplift. And you can watch while the waves wash out the finer gravel and sand from the ridges. You're actually watching right now, as this landscape is still forming. An important part of Earth's history is unfolding here, right in front of your eyes. The whole harbour area is built on Daguerre moraines that have been filled out with rocks, dirt and clay. The villagers have actually dug up parts of the sea floor to make the harbour deeper. The harbour was moved here in the early 20th century when the old harbour at Bodback had become too shallow. And now Svedjehamn is too shallow for the fishing boats too, so they use the new harbour at Vikersgat, a further 2 kilometres to the east. Once, this harbour was buzzing with life. Almost all villagers had their own sheds here, for boats and fishing equipment. And this is where you could take the passenger steamer to the city of Vasa. Fishermen with boatloads of Baltic herring docked at the Saltery, the largest red wooden building here by the water. There the fish was either gutted and packed in salt to be conserved or put on ice to be sold fresh at the market square in Vasa. So here, ice played an important role again. But where did they get the ice from before the era of electric freezers? Well, you see, in winter, all the water you see before you was frozen solid, forming a vast white plain. During a cold winter, the sea ice could be up to 0.5 metre thick. So when you needed ice, you simply walked out on it and hacked out blocks of it. The ice blocks were then stored in an ice cellar. They were packed in sawdust that insulated them, and with any luck, they lasted all year, until the following winter. On a warm summer's day, the thought of the sea being covered in a thick layer of ice can seem almost unreal. But the ice can be so thick here in winter that cars and even trucks can drive on it.
The young guard was shivering so violently that his teeth rattled in the icy cold wind where he stood at his post at the harbour, listening for the sound of engines. The Swedish drivers probably drove with their headlights off, just as they had been ordered to. But the night wasn't completely dark. The white expanses before him were bathed in moonlight. "Please don't let the Russian airplanes spot the lorries out on the sea ice of Kvarken." The Russians had so many airplanes, and tanks, and machine guns, and soldiers. tiny Finland was at a serious disadvantage. The Finns desperately needed the weapons and ammunition that were being secretly transported the 120 kilometers from Umeå by way of Holmen and Björka to Vasa. But it was a dangerous journey for the long convoys of trucks. Most nights, 60 or 70 lorries drove by the guard's post, loaded with a total of 100 tons of weapons, ammunition, anti-tank guns and gas masks. They drove in the same tracks, but carefully spaced out after each other to minimize the strain on the ice. Some nights, the drivers could barely see the tracks in the blizzards, just about struggling their way through the snow drifts. On those nights, the journeys lasted until morning instead of the usual 5 hours. Hopefully the guard wouldn't have to wait all night this time. The horrifying thing with the ice, though, was that it couldn't be trusted. The guard had heard of the snowplow truck that sank through the ice near Holmen. The driver had gone down with the truck. And the other night, huge cracks had opened in the ice and 5 trucks had sunk to the bottom of the sea. Luckily, all the drivers had made it to safety. The guard shuddered from more than the cold wind and stamped his feet to stay warm. He was grateful for the boots made from seal fur that he had borrowed from a villager. Wait, wasn't that the sound of an engine?
In recent years, the winters in the Kvarken archipelago have become warmer, and few people dare to drive a car on the sea ice anymore. If climate change is allowed to continue unhindered, the sea won't freeze as much in the future. In the worst-case scenario, the sea ice could diminish by 85%. That's just an estimate, but what is certain is that if the sea levels continue to rise at the same rate as they have been during the past decades, that will partly counteract the effects of the land uplift. If the sea begins to rise the same amount or more than the land rises, no new daguerre moraines will be born. In essence, that would mean that this particular chapter of Earth's history would get a different ending than we thought it would. So while the Earth is still evolving in this fascinating way, we shouldn't miss the opportunity to observe and appreciate it.